This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Working Memory. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Dreams can be hard to remember, right? Sometimes you wake up and you sort of have this thing that you can just remember, and then it all slips away. But there are people who can remember dreams much better than others. How do they do that? And why do they say this is important to them? Steph Yin has more.
Shady Rose is an artist living in Washington, D.C., and Shady remembers a lot of their dreams in vivid detail.
I woke up in this hole in this salt flat desert with this man looking for me, trying to take me back to the town or the city where I was wanted for something.
As they're talking, Shady gets this far-off look in their eyes.
The salt was really white, and the sky was really blue, and there was sort of like a hazy mirage around the horizon everywhere I looked. And I can feel the sweat on my back, even though it's very cold in the dream.
This is common for Shady. For as long as they can remember, they've had an extremely rich dream world. So much so that they feel like they live two lives, a dream life and a waking life. They've kept a journal since they were young, and they try to record their dreams as often as they can. A lot of their dreams sound like post-apocalyptic movies, like this one recurring dream series, where the world has ended, and Shady's part of a group performing different missions, going to the seed bank, preserving a bunch of books from the Library of Congress.
Did y'all succeed in saving the books?
We did.
Hell yeah.
We did succeed in saving the books.
Congrats.
You know, they're in a vault very deep underground in a ruined Washington, D.C., so... If in the future, you know, we end up in that situation, just know I've got it. I've got it under control.
Some people, like Shady, remember their dreams like they're immersive blockbusters. Others remember just a few fuzzy details, or nothing at all. Why is that? Rafael Vallott, a postdoctoral researcher at the University of California, Berkeley, looked into this question. Using fMRI and PET scans, he compared the brain activity of high dream recallers, people who remember their dreams every day, versus low recallers, who never remember their dreams.
And one thing that we consistently found is that high dream recallers typically have more activity in one specific brain network.
It's called the default mode network. It was only discovered in 2001. The default mode network helps us view and make sense of ourselves. For example, it facilitates episodic memory, or the long-term recollection of specific events and experiences. Your memories of your first day of school, or your first kiss, or a powerful conversation you had with a friend. These are all episodic memories. The default mode network is also active when your mind is wandering, when you're in a dream-like state.
Let's say that you are commuting, you're on the train, you have nothing to do, you're just looking at the landscape on the window and completely lost in your thoughts, then that's when the default mode network is very active.
Raphael's team found the default mode network was more active in high dream recallers, not just when they were asleep, but also when they were awake.
For us, that means that there are some fundamental differences in memory processes between these two groups.
These findings add to a growing body of research that suggests dreams play a role in memory consolidation.
You are actively reprocessing and filtering memories in order to optimize which one you need to remember, which one you can forget. For example, you know, is it relevant for you to remember where you parked your car 2 weeks ago? Probably not.
Scientists know that daydreaming is important in memory consolidation.
And so when you have nothing to do and you're just lost in your thoughts, you will typically reprocess some of the memories, some of the experiences that you experienced maybe the day before, maybe, you know, 1 hour before, or even memories from years ago.
The thought is that's also happening when you're dreaming in sleep, but to an even stronger extent.
Just because the brain state is so different when you are dreaming and you have no, like, input because you are asleep, we think that this reprocessing of the memories is much, much more efficient when you are actually dreaming than when you are just, like, mind wandering. But this is very new, so we don't have all the answers, sadly.
Raphael says this memory reprocessing is likely happening whether or not you recall your dreams upon waking.
Probably you don't need to remember your dreams for them to actually be doing something, you know, for your emotional regulation, memory consolidation, and all that stuff.
Still, lots and lots of people are captivated by their dreams and really want to remember them. What's the use in that? Some believe our dreams tell us something meaningful about our waking lives.
Okay, yeah, so I guess this dream happened in like the last week.
This is Sam. She's doing a dream analysis with Mark Dean, a psychotherapist in Philadelphia. Mark practices Jungian analysis, which is based on the ideas of Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung.
There's a lake. You can see most of it. The sky is pretty big.
In the dream, Sam's in a dangerous situation on a boat with a bunch of people. She helps this one particular woman.
She has like blue acrylic nails with like a lot of diamonds and details on them. And I'm just sort of like comforting her, like, it's okay.
Okay. Could you say a little bit more about the woman with the fingernails? What comes up for you around that?
Yeah. Like there are moments when I want to like have acrylic nails or something like that. And then also many moments where that feels like that doesn't actually fit into my life or who I am. I definitely identified as like a tomboy or something along those lines. But also, yeah, having moments of like deeply wanting that sort of femininity.
Here, the woman with the acrylics maybe represents Sam's relationship with her own femininity. In the dream, she's kind of reconciling with that part of herself. Mark believes this happens a lot in dreams. We think we're interacting with some other person or thing, but we're actually interacting with what he calls shadow aspects of ourselves.
An aspect of the dreamer that the dreamer doesn't fully identify with, and yet somehow or another is lurking in there.
When you talk about dream analysis with researchers, they're reluctant to say anything about it. It's hard to back with evidence. Michael Schradl is a dream researcher at the Central Institute of Mental Health in Mannheim, Germany. He doesn't necessarily believe in Jungian analysis, but he agrees with Mark Dean on this.
Dreams are very clearly related to your waking life experience.
Michael has been recording his dreams for 36 years.
Now I think I have 15,500 dreams, something like that.
Michael thinks dreams often take waking life and exaggerate or dramatize or turn things into metaphor. He says they can give us a window into our inner life.
If, for example, let's say you are avoiding something in your waking life, then you might have a dream of a monster that's chasing you. The main focus is that you have anxiety or panic and you are not confronting anything. You're just running away. Dreams are very helpful to understand what's really important for us.
They're also inspiration for creativity and art. They show us what the mind is capable of.
I think it's still underappreciated that the dream mind is able to produce a whole world without any external input.
Michael says his dreams constantly give him new ways to view the world.
I'm still astonished about the creative function, the creative mode of the dreams.
Shady Rose, from the beginning of our story, incorporates their dreams into their creative work, which involves writing, performance, and visual art. They're the lead singer in a band called Lightmare. This song right here started in a dream.
We describe ourselves as music from that one dream.
That story was reported by Steph Yen.